Welcome to God Invention Radio with your host, Brian Free.
Okay, welcome back. We're moving along. We're in segment three with Leslie Scott, president of Oxford Games, the inventor of the Jenga. Leslie, you're with us, right?
I am indeed.
Just checking. I don't want to be speaking to myself. I'm glad you're with us tonight and sharing all your information, well, as much as you can, with us in the short amount of time. You have your book about Jenga, the website aboutjenga.com, and you also have your company website, which is oxfordgames.com.
That's correct.
Okay, great. I got all that down. And we were moving along and finding out a little bit more about your experience from the beginning. I mean, you had this idea, and you found a woodworker in your area, and he kind of made a prototype for you, and then you needed to produce them on a little bit of a larger scale because you were getting a good response, and then you went to a village that was looking for somebody like you to help, and they were helping you, and you started producing these. You brought some products to a show, to a trade show in England, and it kind of flopped there. So that's where we were, right?
Right.
So there you were. You left that trade show, and I'm sure you had your head up still, just trying to figure out what exactly it was. You just, obviously the right people or the people that you needed to see the product wasn't passing by or didn't stop, or you didn't have what was the highlight of that show?
To be perfectly honest, there was no highlight of the show. When I look back on it, I think the highlight of the show was that it taught me some very important lesson, which was that I needed very swiftly to have more than one product on my books.
Okay.
And that I needed to actually get the product known before the I would get buyers to buy the product, and I very very quickly added another game to my range, which was a game that was called Swipe, which we called Swipe, which I designed with two colleagues of mine, or two former colleagues who who had become friends. We designed this game and put this into our product range, and I went round knocking on doors, and I was incredibly lucky that the store Harrods took Jenga on the basis that I would exhibit the game, that I would actually sort of personally be there demonstrating the game in store for them.
How big of a store chain was that?
Well, Harrods is a very big store in London. There's not a chain of stores. It's just this one very big store, but it's very prestigious.
Okay.
And the thing about them was that they didn't function like most other stores, in that they were prepared to take a risk with new and unusual, well, new companies with unusual products.
It sounds like an FAO Schwartz here.
Exactly, it's that kind of I mean, FAO Schwartz is sort of specifically toys. Harrods is a department store, but they have a very strong actual adult games department.
Gotcha.
And it was within that department that they allowed me to come and demonstrate the game.
That's very nice. You know, we kind of skipped over, which I know inventors like to hear this part of it. If you can briefly just give us during your process, did you do a patent search? Did you? It may be a little different from England to United States, but just give us an idea of what you did along the way.
Well, I will, definitely, because that actually that was a really, really important part of getting Jenga on the market and protected. I mean, before I took the game to the toy show, before I launched it officially, I saw a patent agent. And the process actually I don't think is that different between the UK and the States, and I think it's pretty similar actually across the world. So I went to see this patent agent, and he told me that it was likely that I would get a patent, that it was worth applying for a patent, that the design, there was enough in the design that it was innovative, you know, there was an innovative enough step in the design of the game,
okay,
that he thought that there would be a possibility of me being granted a patent. So So we put in a patent application. But I tell you, the most important thing that he told me, which I now realize was the most important thing I did, was that he said, we would try for the patent. It wasn't guaranteed. It was worth trying for it. But what was absolutely important for me to do was to trademark the name Jenga, and absolutely secure the name.
What was it about that name? I remember we spoke prior to the show. But what does Jenga mean?
Jenga is it's a Swahili word, which is a language I grew up speaking. It actually means to build. But the reason I chose the word was because it doesn't have any meaning in English, and I really hoped that one day the word would mean the game. It would become synonymous with the game. Mm-hmm. And that is what has happened. And in a sense, sort of going back to the sort of patent thing, was that when you file for a patent, you have, I think it's about 12 months in which you have a patent pending, and that process is not particularly expensive.
Well, during that time, so you filed a provisional patent,
I guess
it's similar, which gives you the right to say that you're patent pending for a year.
You have patent pending for a year, so you have a date of filing, which is important. Is the important aspect to it.
Okay.
Then 12 months on, you then get to the point where you have to actually go for the full patent, and I couldn't afford to go for a full patent. And I think this is something that I think many small companies, young designers, inventors, would probably find themselves in very much the same situation. Is that at the key point where you need to get your full patent to get your full protection? Often one can't afford to do this because it's not then just a matter of getting a patent for one region. Even in one region, if I was just going to try and get the patent for the UK, you're talking of a fair few thousand pounds.
Okay.
But and in a sense, then all it would do is to protect you for the UK. So if you then go and have to get a patent for each region of the world, you are talking thousands and thousands of pounds to do that.
So what did you do?
Well, I dropped it.
Were you able to? Okay.
I dropped the patent application. And so never took it beyond that sort of first 12 months. But what I did do was continue. I mean, the cost of trademarking something is minimal, and it is something that you can renew. I mean, the other point with the patent is that even if you get a patent granted, it's for a very limited period of time. Whereas a trademark, you can continue to renew your trademark in various regions of the world at comparatively a small fee.
We always, a couple shows we've spoken about certain products or different things that you come up with that may not necessarily be patentable because it may overlap and, you know, not exactly infringing on somebody's patent,
mm-hmm.
but having that solid trademark is so, so important, and that can make all the difference. And you're a perfect example of that. You have no patent, but look at Jenga. Everybody knows what Jenga is.
Yeah, it's incredibly important. I mean, having the trademark and actually making sure that wherever the game is seen, the trademark is used is, in the end, it's what it is what has protected Jenga for me. And the funny thing about Jenga is that at one point when Hasbro wanted to take on the game, we're talking about sort of 3 years into the process, I had it on the market myself for 3 years. My company was manufacturing it and selling the game, because I wanted to go alone with it. But 3 years down the line, when I realized it was extremely difficult to get this game going on my own, and Hasbro wanted to take it, but they did not like the name at the time. And there was actually a point at which it looked like it was actually going to be a deal breaker. They really hated the name. They said it meant nothing. But I kept on. I was so convinced that if they let this name go, in a sense, we would probably sort of lose the game. It would be very, very difficult to hold on to the uniqueness of the game,
right,
the ownership
right.
of the game.
But we're going to learn more about, that's very interesting, we're going to learn more about the licensing distribution side of the Jenga. But I'm just curious, so really you were at that point where you started manufacturing there and and you just kept going, and you used the village to make up some games, and then you had the other game that you put together with it. What did you? We have about a minute. We're going to continue in the next segment, but if you could tell us real quickly, what did you do with those two games?
I advertised them I got as much PR as possible for them. Advertising was not something that I could really afford. It was a lot of knocking on doors, ringing up people, going to see buyers, and slowly, slowly, slowly getting people to see the game. I had it demonstrated places. And so
right,
I sort of slowly
place,
built it up.
What was that place, the first store
the
that
first
gave
place,
you that?
It's a store called Harrods. It's in London, and they were the ones that really, because they were a very prestigious store, it made it much easier for me to say to other stores, you know, it's working in Harrods. Maybe you could try it too.
That's great. That's great. We're going to find out more in the next segment about your licensing distribution and about your involvement with Hasbro, how they almost is almost a deal breaker because they didn't like the name Jenga. We have Leslie Scott, president of Oxford Games, on Got Invention Radio. You're listening to Got Invention Radio on WSRadio.com, the worldwide leader in Internet talk. We'll be back in a moment.
Do you have an idea or an invention and not sure what to do next? Take the first step and get your copy of the book, You and Your Big Ideas, by Brian Fried. From protecting your idea to developing it and bringing your product to market, this handy resource guide is a must-have for every inventor, innovator, and entrepreneur. This book is all about you and your big ideas and bringing them to life. Only $10.95. Order now and also receive your free product evaluation kit with the book. Call now.
Buzz Aldrin, the second man to walk on the moon, flies again with WS Radio. Hi, this is Jack Warren, Senior VP for the WS Radio Networks, and on September 3rd, 2009, WS Radio made history by broadcasting from the only Zeppelin in the United States, high above the Southern California skies, and we launched a local station, WSRadioDC.com, the global voice of the nation's capital. We were privileged to have Buzz Aldrin join us for this historic broadcast using new wireless technology for Internet radio. We want to thank Mr. Aldrin for his service to our country and invite you to log on to BuzzAldrin.com to purchase his New York Times best-selling book, Magnificent Desolation. His autobiography, which covers his incredible Apollo 11 journey to dealing with depression and alcoholism, and his triumph over it. So go to BuzzAldrin.com. That's BuzzAldrin.com.
If you or someone you know is unemployed, WS Radio wants to help. Hi, I'm Cece Gonzalez, host of Headhunter Radio. Our show is dedicated to all things human resources, getting a job, keeping a job, career development, and best practices. And now WS Radio is also doing their part to assist you in your job search. Log on to www.jobhuntingtoolkit.com, where they've provided some great links and free tools. That's www.jobhuntingtoolkit.com.
Hi, Jack Warren here, host of the Shutterbug Magazine radio show on the WS Radio Network. You know, I hear people say they feel chained to their office desk. They spend hours stuck in traffic just to get to their office computers. They stay late, they go in on the weekends just to keep up. You know, technology is supposed to make your life easier, not more complicated. Now, I have a proven solution where you work from anywhere in any computer with GoToMyPC. Whether it's a Mac or a PC, you can access your computer, use any program, work on any file, check your email, access network resources with GoToMyPC. GoToMyPC lets you take your office with you wherever you go. WS Radio listeners can try GoToMyPC for free for the next 30 days. For this special offer, you must visit GoToMyPC.com/talk. That's gotomypc.com/talk for a free trial.